chapelboro.com. Go there quick and stay a while. chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. Now News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Side Dish, hosted by Deborah Miller. Tune in for 30 minutes of tasty talk with culinary aficionados, wine connoisseurs, and more. Side Dish is locally produced by News Talk 1360 WCHL. Now let's get to the tasty talk with Deborah Miller.
Welcome to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller, and I have my old running buddy and co-host Jay White sitting across the table from me. I'm so excited.
Well, it's great to be back.
I've missed you.
Well, I've missed you, and I've certainly missed doing the show. And for my celebrity welcome back, I couldn't have picked a better person to interview today.
You could not. We're not interviewing each other. We have Sandra Gutierrez. We're going to be talking about her new book, The New Southern Latino Table. Welcome.
Thank you. So excited to be here with both of you today.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I think when I left back in the spring, I said, I don't care when the book comes out. We're going to figure out how to get me back on the air so I can be part of this interview. It's such an exciting thing to. We have kind of birthed it together, it
we
seems.
Sort of
it feels like it, doesn't it?
I'm sure you did all the hard work, as most mothers do.
Oh, we helped.
It certainly helped.
But it certainly has been a long time in coming, and all the recipe testing and all the tasting I got to do, it was such hard work.
So. Oh, I know. That's the hardest part.
It's a beautiful book. The colors,
sure
some
is.
Of my favorite colors. You've got that dark teal. The New Southern Latino Table, recipes that bring together the bold and beloved flavors of Latin America and the American South. How fun was that to write?
It was so much fun to write. It was really a labor of love, but it was a lot of fun. It was a very creative process, and I very much indulged in creating the recipes and just doing all the research for the book was fascinating as well.
Let's just take one step back and tell people there are a million cookbooks out there, as we all know. How did you come up with this particular idea? What was the light bulb moment that you said, this is what I can write about?
You know, about 3 years ago, it became just inevitable, really, to go out and start seeing that the Latin American flavors were truly being adapted into Southern cuisine. I mean, everybody puts chipotle in their mayonnaise now. You know, you see quesadillas in lunch school menus every day, et cetera. But by the same token, when I was teaching my classes, I was getting a lot of my students here in Chapel Hill and my students in the schools in the South come to me and say, you know, the other day, instead of doing my pulled pork the way I normally do it, I used that Cuban mojo you taught us. And I started realizing that it was going both ways. Both Southerners were adapting Latin cuisine, but also we were adapting, the Latinos, adapting Southern ingredients and Southern techniques. And that was the first sign for me that it needed to be written. But then I started doing more research, and I found it fascinating to find that we have three things in common throughout the entire Americas. And I always, every time I come here, I stress to your listeners that Latin cuisines are very different one from the other. We've got 21 different Latin cuisines, and each of them deserves to be celebrated. We don't all eat Mexican food, although I'm the first one in line for Mexican dinner. I love Mexican food, but that's not all we eat. And but there is a common element throughout all 21 cuisines that we share with the southern region of the United States. And those are, first, our cuisines were influenced by three people. Of three different ethnicities, the indigenous people of the Americas, the Europeans who came and colonized, and the Africans who arrived as slaves and who left one of the most wonderful and indelible array of characteristics in the cuisines of all of the Americas as a whole. That's the first characteristic we share. The second is that we have the same basket of ingredients that we share, among them corn, tomatoes, nuts, pork, etc. And thirdly, we do share certain cooking techniques that are common to both cuisines. Braising, roasting, and barbecuing, my friends, which was actually invented in Latin America. It was actually invented in the New World, and that was one of the new techniques that the Spaniards discovered upon coming to America.
So you mean, let's clarify that. That's that's grilling?
Barbecuing. No, cooking food on a spit on top of fire.
On top of fire.
So the whole technique of cooking food directly on fire was created in the New World here in the Americas. So
with the smokiness that goes along with that.
Everything, you know. Mm-hmm. So, there are variances, but the first ones to actually introduce that cuisine were the Taino indigenous people from the Latin Caribbean.
Well, you've done your research.
I guess so.
I have. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, I love grilled stuff. I mean, if I can grill it, that would be my choice of cooking because of the flavor that it adds.
Yes.
So, well, how long was this in the making?
The book itself was in the making for 3 years. It took 3 years to make. I shot all the photography and I styled all the dishes as well. So it's a book that really combines my loves of history.
Was that a budgetary necessity, or are you just a control freak?
No, I'm not a control freak. There wasn't going to be any photos in the book.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, what about if I shoot the photographs? And the University of North Carolina Press was my publisher, and I've loved working with them. They took a gamble, and they said, okay, well, let's see what you can produce. And they actually loved my shots, and so we used them in the book.
Well, it's
photography
it's beautiful.
You never know that it wasn't professional. You know, I think you can add that to your resume now.
There you go.
Professional food styler and photographer.
Exactly.
I mean, it is very well done.
This made me go in here. Now, you can't tell it from my book because what I did was copy this so I didn't get the book dirty before we talked. But I made the drunken chicken with muscadine grapes, and white wine.
Did you like it?
And I made it for a dinner party, and it was a huge, huge, huge hit.
Oh, I'm so happy.
And then I held the book up. So hopefully all these people who are at dinner will come and buy the book. And you've got a bunch of book signings coming up, don't you?
I do. I have a long list of book signings.
Let's end this first segment with that. We have some time, so go ahead.
So the first event we're going to have, and I want to invite all your listeners to come and join us, is the launch party at the Umstead Hotel and Spa in Cary on September the 22nd at 6 o'clock. It's open to the public. It's free to the public. We're going to be sampling food from the book, and there's going to be music and door prizes. A really fun event. So please come and join us for that. And then, of course, I have my cooking class and book signing event at A Southern Season on October 1st. I'm going to be over in Barnes & Noble in Burlington on October 2nd. And I'm going to be heading over to Flyleaf Books again here in Chapel Hill on the 5th of October. And I'm going to be at Barnes & Noble at New Hope Commons in Durham on the 8th of October. I'll be in McIntyre's on the 8th of October again at 11 o'clock in the morning in McIntyre's at 4 o'clock in Durham. And I have a lot of other things that I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be going to the Regulator bookshop over in on November the 3rd at the Cook's Warehouse in Atlanta.
You're leaving town.
I am. I'm actually going to be doing a book tour around the Southeast.
Oh, how exciting.
Very exciting.
How are you packed?
No, I need to go pack tomorrow.
So at each of these signings, are you serving any food?
Most of them, I'm going to be bringing samples.
Well, I'll tell you what. She brought some samples today, and we're going to talk about these in the next segment. Those are her little, with the chili brownies?
The chili chocolate brownies.
Oh. So before we go, you have a website?
I do. It's www.sandraskitchenstudio.com. And you can all come. And actually, we're having something very exciting for the next 3 weeks. We're having a virtual bloggers party that we can talk later.
Oh, doesn't that sound like fun?
It does.
Jay, it's so good to see you sitting across the table from me.
It's like riding a bike.
It is.
Right back in. So, folks, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back. More talk with Sandra.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Jay White. I'm here with my former co-host, Deborah Miller. I'm the special guest today, and our real special guest today is Sandra Gutierrez, who has a brand new book out, The New Southern Latino Table, and we couldn't be happier for her. Just before break, Sandra, you said that one of the things that you were doing, in addition to the all the book signings, was you were going to have a virtual blogging party. Okay, now I'm a little bit of a Luddite when it comes to this stuff, so bear with me, but you have to explain what that is. And then also, rumor has it that Ms. Deborah Miller has her own blog now.
It's true.
I want to hear all about that.
So ladies, take it away and bring me into the 21st century.
Okay, so that virtual bloggers party is really exciting. We're doing this to promote the book. And it started this Monday, but it's going to go on for the next 2 weeks. And every Monday, I've invited three bloggers every week to post recipes from my book. They have agreed to photograph it. We even have some bloggers who are putting video up. And they all appear consecutively on my blog, on their blog, on UNC Press's blog. And it gets picked up by other bloggers. So that's why it's called a virtual bloggers party. Hmm. Everybody brings a different dish to the table.
What a great idea.
It's so much
fun. Did UNC Press figure that out, or was that your idea?
No, actually, it was one of my friend's idea, Tara Matarasa Desmond, who published Almost Meatless about 2 years ago, and she invited me to be on her virtual bloggers party. So when I did my book, I suggested it to UNC Press. And Tara actually was one of my first guests. She's on the first group of bloggers. It's so much fun because you get to see your dishes prepared by somebody else. They photograph it. They each have stories or snippets. If you all want to go to the blog, which is the website I mentioned before, sandraskitchenstudio.com.
So that's the same address as your blog.
It's all together.
Is that the way most blogs are?
Some of them. Mine is more of a blog than a website. It operates like a website, though, so it has different components.
And I also would... you and I are Facebook friends, which
we are Facebook friends.
I thought that was an exciting thing for me to finally figure out.
Isn't it fun to be friends?
It's so much fun. All your listeners to come and join me on Twitter also.
I see lots of people doing the same kind of thing on your Facebook page saying that they've... Yeah.
Well, some of the cool things about the blog are that you can... And yes, I do have one. I launched it last week. It's called Simmer2, the number 2, sizzle.com. And oh my gosh, it was a challenge to put up. And I remember one night sitting up 1 a.m. about to cry because I just thought I just can't figure this out. And I went to sleep, woke up the next morning and sat down, and all of a sudden it all made sense. And it has been just so much fun. And it's sort of like a website. And I have some tabs of different things that I talk about. But, it's mostly just putting up thoughts that are – mine is sort of about food and wine and love and lust and
– Do you write every day?
I try to put something up every day and
– Wow, you're disciplined. I don't do it every day.
Well, it's new. And I always put up whatever the foodimentary – you know, the foodimentary guy?
Right.
John Brian Hopkins, who created that blog, I had him on the show, and it was so interesting. And he every day has today is national such and such. Today is national double cheeseburger day. So I always put up something like that, and I put up music to cook by, and music to listen to on the back porch and stuff like that. And it's
so you've been able to take your two loves, which are music and food. I know this because we've sat across from this table for a long time.
Yeah.
And if we're not talking Memphis music, we're talking Memphis ribs. So, exactly.
Yeah.
Good
and
for you. That's
blogging
great.
Is kind of a, you know, I guess it's really self-indulgent in a way.
It's a personal journey, that's for sure.
It is a personal journey, but fun. And I'm going to sit down and try to look at how that virtual blogging thing works. I have not put up a video yet.
I think it's very voyeuristic to go into other people's blogs, and I think that's why they're so popular, because you really get to see the personal style.
Is there one person coordinating the virtual one for you, Sandra?
The one for me, yes. It's been done by this wonderful lady, Ellen Bush, over at UNC Press. She's just magnificent, and she's like the director of an orchestra, bringing everything together for me, yes. It's been really wonderful.
Well, there are programs that you can use. I'm using WordPress, which is just – it's a pretty standard – program that lets you build one and set it up and host it.
And I use TypePad for mine, and I love it. It's fabulous. It's been great to promote the book. It's been great to write recipes and share information about how to break the stereotypes of Latin cuisine with people. And it gets a really nice response. So it's a fun thing.
Can you tell where people are, where they are that are reading it, or
yes,
is that
you can. In mine, you can. You can see the stats, and you can see how many people hit your blog.
But you don't have any idea where they're. Are you talking to Southerners, Northerners?
Oh, it depends. Sometimes through their comments or through emails. I get a lot of emails from people.
You can figure out where they're from. Because that's one of the things about the internet. It's so anonymous sometimes. Uh-huh. You don't really know where
people
are.
It can be as anonymous as you want to. I don't know about you, Deborah, but it was a little scary to put myself out there. But it's fun.
You know, I don't know that there's anywhere on there that I have my name. And I thought, well, you know, I think that might be okay. Because there were anybody that knows me. I mean, I'm not going to put any personal information that I wouldn't be afraid for somebody to know.
There you go. No, you just have to, play it smart when you're protecting your privacy, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I have a Side Dish tab.
My children, for instance.
So I have links to all the shows on Side Dish. And the nice, one of the fun things is you can link that to, there are links to Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and other, you know, the other social networks.
And you need to have a blog roll to put all your favorite blogs.
I have a blog roll. I do. Yes. And I'm going to go
it's
add this.
Sharing.
I'm going to add this as soon as I get home.
Yes. Mm. It's fun.
They lost me about 5 minutes ago, folks, but I'm just sitting here listening. It sounds fascinating.
So
I'll go visit where I can.
Well, you go look at ours. So before we don't have a ton of time left in this segment, but
The samples.
Are they good?
Tell us about these little...
So I brought you two samples from the book, two desserts, because those were easy to bring along. The first one are the chile chocolate brownies. That recipe has literally gone viral all over the country. People are going nuts over this recipe. It's, I think, a very sensual recipe. You just think you're tasting chocolate. It looks like a brownie. Just very slowly, you get a little slight, subtle tingling of the tongue produced by the chile. And it's really delicious. I call it brownies for grown-ups. And it's really been very, very popular throughout. Bloggers are blogging about it, and it's been mentioned in a lot of newspapers. And the second recipe is one of my favorites. It's pumpkin seed brittle. And I did that one. That is my fusion, if you will, between a praline or praline, depending where you are in the South, and a Mayan candy called pepitoria that is an old, old traditional candy.
The pumpkin
Guatemala.
Seed in Spanish is
pepita.
Pepita.
And so this is a pepitoria.
I like pepita much better than
I do too. Yeah. Pumpkin.
The recipe is on page 229 in this book. And if you could try these, they absolutely almost float on
the
your
brownies,
tongue.
Yes.
They are so light and airy.
The first time I had the brownie, it was sort of like gilding the lily, but Sandra served them with ice cream.
Oh my God. A little dulce de leche.
Buttermilk ice cream. That's also in the book. That's what I made.
It was a great combination. They played off of each other beautifully.
Well, we're going to need to run to break. And when we come back, we're going to run over where those book signings are one more time for everybody. You are listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Jay White. I'm here with Deborah Miller one more time. And we have Sandra Gutierrez sitting at the table with us today with Sandra's new book, The New Southern Latino Table. And Sandra, there's... How did you ever decide what goes into a book with such rich cultural history? I mean, how did you narrow it down? And what did you find? And what part of the book do you think is unique?
Well, I'll tell you. The way that I thought when bringing the recipes together was like I thought of dishes that were similar in both cultures, and then I found a way to put them together on a dish so that when a Southerner sits at the table, they will recognize it as something they've had before, and Latinos will too, but with a twist.
Cool.
And then that you Very can start cool. a conversation. Mm-hmm. I thought it's a good place to start a conversation together, something that's absolutely delicious to eat and that we share in common. But probably the most interesting chapter to research, to write, and to develop recipes for was my covered dishes and casseroles chapter. Because, of course, casseroles here in the South are so important, and they denote hospitality and friendship and, you know, sisterhood and whatnot, and you bring them...
And comfort food.
Yes, such comforting dishes. And although we do serve casserole-style dishes in Latin America throughout the Americas, we don't have the same term for potluck that exists here in the South, where you go to a church supper or to a dinner on the grounds and everybody brings their own specialty dish. That doesn't exist in Latin America. And I don't know if you know this, but the original term for potluck was coined in the 16th century in England. And it meant that whoever was traveling around and would stop at somebody's house for dinner had to be content with whatever was in the pot. So that was a luck in the pot. Potluck comes from that. And that basically is a term that is still recognized in Latin America. The concept is when you go to somebody's house, you don't bring them part of dinner. That would be offensive to the host or hostess because the host or hostess is supposed to cater for you. But you're content with whatever you have for supper if you're an unannounced guest. So I thought it would be interesting to build a whole chapter of potluck and casserole dishes because I do believe that the potluck is probably the most beautiful form of communal dinner we can have. Everybody's welcome to the table. All ethnicities mix. And you get to sample what everybody makes best, you know, what they want to showcase. So I love it. I think it's a tradition that needs to be implemented in other countries and just to grow. But I really enjoyed making dishes for this. I have a butternut squash cannellonis with coconut sauce and praline powder. It's a pasta dish. In the Argentinian style, but with southern ingredients. And I make pralines and then I powder them. It's very easy to make. It sounds complicated, but it actually isn't. And then I have a coconut chayote and corn bake, which is very similar to a corn pudding. And one of my favorite casseroles, isn't that delicious?
Yes.
I love corn pudding, too. And one of my favorite dishes here is a casserole that I made. You know how Southerners eat a lot of tamale pie? And even though the tamale pie was not created in the South, it's very popular throughout the South. I decided to create one in the Chilean version called pastel de choclo, which is a casserole made with this picadillo in the bottom or ground beef mixture with olives and raisins. And it's sweet and sour, like the empanada.
I was going to say, that's like your empanada filling.
Filling in the empanada that you like so much.
I love those.
And on top of it, I put a grits casserole. So it's amazing. It's really very
now,
comfort.
That is so
that's worth buying the book for, there, that one recipe.
You'd
love that, Jay,
because
I know you like the empanadas.
Well, golly, we're going to have to go here in a minute. Before we do, thank you so much for coming back.
Thank
and Jay,
you
you're welcome
me.
Around my table anytime you want.
I'm going to take you up on that.
All you have to do is call. I'll set another place. And one more time real quick.
Join me for the launch party on September 22nd over at the Umstead Hotel and Spa. It's free to the public and open to the public. That will be, again, September 22nd at 6 o'clock in the evening. On the 27th, I'll be at the Country Bookshop in Southern Pines. And I'll have lots of events. You can see them
and you
on
can
my,
see them on your website.
On my website or in the UNC
SandrasKitchenStudio.com. Thank you very much, both of you.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.